From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Last week, the United States Supreme Court heard a challenge to the Voting Rights Act. It came from Shelby County, Alabama. The election law dates back to the civil rights struggles of the 1960s. Alabama has a long, painful history in those struggles. Has the tide turned in the Crimson State? Or should the protections remain? Lawyers had their say at the high court. Today, we want to hear what the people think. This hour, On Point, voices from Shelby County, Alabama. You can join the conversation. Is it time to take a second look at the Voting Rights Act? Are the protections still needed? Joining me now from Birmingham, Alabama, is U.W. Clemon, lifelong civil rights activist and foot soldier for Martin Luther King and the Birmingham Civil Rights Movement. He is a retired federal judge and the first African-American judge in Alabama. U.W. Clemon, welcome to On Point.
Thank you so much. I welcome the opportunity to be here.
Well, thank you, sir. You bring two important perspectives to this conversation. You lived through all of this in Alabama, and you're a lawyer and a judge. So from your eyes, I'm curious, take us to the heart of this Supreme Court battle. It's a marquee case, obviously, this term. What did you hear in the arguments before the court?
Well, what I heard in the argument in some ways was reassuring, but in many others, I heard the kind of doubt expressed by various members of the Supreme Court that would raise fear in my own mind as to whether Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act will continue to sustain us in our efforts to secure equality of the vote.
Well, here's one exchange. Let's listen to it. This is during last week's Supreme Court hearing where Solicitor General Ralph Verrilli, arguing on behalf of the federal government, he was asked by Chief Justice John Roberts if the need for specific areas in the South to be covered by Section 5 meant that the South was the more racist part of the country.
Is it the government's submission that the citizens in the South are more racist than citizens in the North?
It is not, and I do not know the answer to that, Your Honor, but I do think it was reasonable for
Congress. Well, which you said it is not, and you don't know the answer to it.
It's not our submission. As an objective matter, I don't know the answer to that question.
Judge Clemon, Justice Roberts appearing somewhat skeptical about the continued need for Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. What's your response to that?
Yes. Had I been in Mr. Verrilli's position, my answer would have been an unequivocal, yes, it is. And to the Chief Justice, I would have cited the only known judicial finding in that respect. Federal judge just 2 years ago found that the Alabama legislature acts in a racially biased manner. And he based it on evidence before the court. He saw in that particular case, United States versus McGregor and others, evidence of the same kind of racial animus and bias that provoked the passage of the of Section 5 in 1965.
So has anything changed, sir? Do you think it is still as bad? Is there still the racial bias that existed in the South that existed in 1965, 66? Has anything changed?
To your last question, I would say yes, there is the same kind of racial bias among Alabamians as existed in 1965, 66. I would say with equal force that many things have changed, and most of those changes are attributable to the effectiveness of the Voting Rights Act. That act moved blacks in this state from a position where if they wanted to vote in a Democratic primary and were somehow lucky enough to survive the many obstacles to voting, they had to vote on a ballot with an emblem of a rooster and the, quote, white supremacy for the right. That was the situation in the early 60s in Alabama for those blacks who were lucky enough to be allowed to vote, the very few of them. That same kind of attitude, in my judgment, and the judgment of those for whom I speak, is seen today resurrected in large part by the fact that the most powerful man in the country has some black blood in him. And that is a fact which brings out the worst in terms of bigotry, and we've seen it in Alabama very recently.
Well, maybe that's the answer to my next question then, which was going to be, you know, you've been a civil rights activist your entire life. What does it say to you that a county in Alabama is pushing for this change, is pushing to overturn the Voting Rights Act?
Well, I think that it says to me that Shelby County feels that there is some change in the mood of the country, that the country is willing to look the other way, away from the racism that actually exists, and focus on other things. And so it's been emboldened by some statements of justices such as Scalia, to the point that it thinks that it can gloss over the realities of bigotry in this state.
Judge Clemon, what is the mood, to your mind, in Shelby County among the people? How divided are they? What is the division among the people there about this issue?
Well, blacks in Shelby County, some of whom I now represent and several of whom came before me as a federal judge in the 30 years I served as a federal judge and heard a number of cases from Shelby County. Many of those black citizens still feel very much discriminated against, and they are somewhat dismayed by the fact that the United States Supreme Court would even agree to hear this challenge to Section 5 after the Congress of the United States voted so overwhelmingly in favor of extending the Voting Rights Act and Section 5 in 2006.
Is this issue, to your mind, divided mostly along racial lines?
Almost exclusively along racial lines.
Hmm. What do you say, Judge Clemons, to opponents who suggest that the coverage formula used for the Voting Rights Act is based on data and information that is more than 30, 35 years old, does not take into account the current political conditions in Shelby County and beyond? What's your response to that, about the fact that the data used as a baseline for this law seems very outdated?
Well, I believe that Congress in 2005 and 2006 held extensive hearings and based the legislation extending the act on current data. So my response to those who say that this data on which the extension was based is outdated, they are simply wrong.
Has the Voting Rights Act accomplished its mission?
No, it has not accomplished its mission because racism has not been abolished. And to the extent that men and women in policymaking positions are empowered to take various legislative actions to exclude blacks from voting and from participating in the political process, then the Voting Rights Act has not achieved its mission because the mission is ongoing.
And so it's not just needed in Shelby County then, if I'm understanding you correctly. It's needed throughout the South and perhaps in places nationwide. Is that correct?
That I can't speak for the rest of the South and certainly not for the rest of the United States. The only 3 years I've spent away from Alabama were the 3 years that I spent at Columbia Law School back in the 60s. But other than those three out of my nearly 70 years on this earth, I have lived here in Alabama. And I think I can speak with some authority in terms of the feelings and the mood of black people and the actions of legislative-like people in this state.
And so then, Judge Clemon, what is your fear? What would be the implication, the outcome, if this is overturned?
My fear is that by a 5-4 vote, the United States Supreme Court will set aside Section 5. And if it does, what it means is that people like myself and those who have fought all their lives against continued racial exclusion and discrimination must continue in the battle, because we will not give up in terms of what we think we are entitled to as citizens of the United States.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking with voices from Shelby County, Alabama, about the Voting Rights Act, and you can join the conversation. Here is President Lyndon B. Johnson signing the Voting Rights Act into law on August 6, 1965. At the signing, President Johnson explained the significance of the law allowing all people, regardless of color, to vote, thereby enforcing the 15th Amendment.
This act flows from a clear and simple wrong. Its only purpose is to right that wrong. Millions of Americans are denied the right to vote because of their color. This law will ensure them the right to vote.
So we're talking this hour with UW Clemon, lifelong civil rights activist, a former federal judge and state senator. And joining us now from Montgomery, Alabama, is Cam Ward. He is state senator for District 14, which includes Shelby County and neighboring Jefferson County. Cam Ward, welcome to On Point.
Thank you for having me on.
So we just heard the perspective of Judge Clemon of why we need the Voting Rights Act. To your mind, why does Shelby County feel that there is no longer a need for Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act?
Yeah, and I want to be clear, too. I think the Voting Rights Act is very important. It's been a historic piece of legislation, and I think it's been served a good purpose. I think one of the issues on Section 5 is the overwhelming burden it puts on local governments on areas that, quite honestly, do nothing to deny someone the right to vote. For example, when we municipalities annex a area into their city, they have to go through the Justice Department just to increase the size of their city or allow people to move into their city. I think if you look at Shelby County's recent political history, and I say recent, I mean, I'm 41 years old, so I wasn't even born until 1971. But if you look at the recent political history of Shelby County, you'll see that, quite honestly, we've elected countywide African-Americans, and then at all levels in that county, we've elected African-American officials. And it's a very diverse community, while at the same time, we just haven't had the voting irregularities that probably occurred, 50 or 60 years ago.
And then, so what's your response to Judge Clemon, who says, well, there are irregularities and there still is racial bias in the South and even in Shelby County, and the memories or the possibility of what happened so many years ago? I mean, poll taxes and literacy tests and, all of that to negate one segment of minority voters, that's still on the minds of a lot of people there. What's your response to that?
And as I mentioned, someone who was born in 1971, many of the things you just mentioned occurred before I was even born. I mean, and they were horrible things. I'll be the first to admit and agree with Judge Clement on that. My objection, I guess, would be, first of all, does racism still exist? Yes, it exists everywhere in this country today, and I couldn't possibly deny that, and I think we'd all agree with it. I don't think any law will ever completely get rid of racism, because that's a matter of the mind and heart, and unfortunately there are still those people out there that have those minds and hearts. I would say, though, however, if you look at Shelby County, our record of voting has been very good, and in fact, yes, there's always the memories of the historical travesties that we had during the Civil Rights era, and we shouldn't forget that history, because it's who we are and it's what happened, and it was a very unfortunate chapter, but it was there. But it was also 50 years ago. And at some point in some time, you have to say, are these laws continuing to accomplish a purpose, or are they merely symbolism? And that's a big question.
Has the Voting Rights Act, Cam Ward, impacted your county's ability to function? I mean, does it affect those who are voted into office?
It does. What it really does is it restricts any time it delays your governing operations. Because, like I said, any time you have a particular annexation issue, any time you have any kind of changes in lines, you have to go all the way through the Justice Department. When, in fact, you know, it was interesting. We've had African-American county officials. We've had them elected countywide on the school board, and yet we're still being punished as if things haven't changed since the 1950s and 60s. And so it has truly, it does harm our function of government and increase the fees that the government has to pay as a county. We're being punished because we have to pay more than, say, a county in Vermont to do just the basic government services.
Here's some sound on Sunday, Vice President Joe Biden in Selma, Alabama, to commemorate Bloody Sunday, when Alabama troopers and local law enforcement beat back civil rights marchers on March 7, 1965. The Vice President spoke at the Martin and Coretta King Unity Brunch that morning.
We saw it in state legislators working to end same-day registration, cutting back early voting, requiring voter ID where no fraud was ever shown, registering voters, restricting voters' registration drives. Look, folks, here we are, 48 years after all you did, and we're still fighting?
Cam Ward, is the Vice President overstating that to your mind?
Well, first of all, we haven't had same-day voting, registration voting here in Alabama. We haven't had, still don't have it. We've never had it. Yes, I do think he's overstating it. You know, it's interesting. If you look at the previous election, President Obama did not carry Alabama, yet there was an enormous African-American turnout here, despite voter identification laws. So it's contrary to what he's saying. He's playing great to a political crowd, and I understand, you know, that's the process, but it doesn't match up with the data, because your turnout among the African-American community has gone up since voter ID laws were passed in Alabama. So the vice president was singing to the choir, and I understand that, but at the same time, he's just wrong. I mean, he's basically trying to make an argument for something that's just not there.
Judge Clement, jump back in here. What do you make of Cam Ward's assessment that voter turnout is actually going up?
I'd like to start with the annexation issue. It is a very vibrant issue. I have seen during the senator's lifetime situations in which cities and counties have annexed white areas and excluded black areas from annexation. That's an ongoing problem. Happens all the time, and would happen even more often were preclearance not required. In the senator's lifetime, the Shelby County Commission was all white, and the school board was all white, until a federal lawsuit resulted in a court decree requiring the election from districts. And that's the way in which blacks were elected to these countywide offices. There have been ongoing complaints of discrimination in Shelby County. In fact, I have enjoined Shelby County from discriminating against one of the local black activists, Reverend Bobby Lee Harris, in the school system in the last 20 years. So many of these problems that existed in the 1960s are still present today, and the only reason why they do not amount to a national outrage is that preclearance is required before you make these changes in voting procedures. You've got to get preclearance from the Justice Department.
We have two perspectives here. Let's get our callers in on this, our listeners. William is in Columbia, South Carolina. William, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I have to concur with what the judge is saying. To argue that the cure is not necessary because the cure is working is an absurd argument by the plaintiffs. You would think, by extension, you should say that since we haven't had slavery in 140 years, we don't need the 13th Amendment anymore. No. I know state legislators here in South Carolina that in redistricting have said we have to be sure that there are no black legislators elected from the county I'm in. Racism exists, and these laws keep it from being worse.
William, thank you. Cam Ward, your response.
Well, what I would say is, yes, it does. It does exist. Racism does exist, and I would say it probably exists in 50 states around the country, but yet all 50 states aren't treated the same way under the Voting Rights Act. And as to Judge Clemens' point earlier, first of all, the complaints have been very few, but I bet some of those same complaints on annexation could be applied to any state in this country. And as far as African American local officials, we actually have just recently elected countywide, not by district, countywide, an African American school board member. So I hear his argument, and I hear his argument based upon the thinking of African-Americans living in one community and whites living in another, when, in fact, if you go to cities like Pelham, Alabama, what you'll find are subdivisions coming up where African-Americans and whites, Asians, all kind of living side by side in mixed communities. So I think it's very different from the world he's talking about.
Let me bring in another voice into the conversation now from Auburn, Alabama, is Wayne Flint. He's professor emeritus of history at Auburn University. He is author of Alabama, The History of a Deep South State. Professor Flint, welcome to On Point. Glad you're here.
Hello, Jane. Glad to be with you.
Help us from your perspective, from a professorial perspective, help us understand the Voting Rights Act. Put it into perspective for us. How did it impact the state of Alabama?
Well, I think one thing that's important in this conversation, Jane, is that the conversation about the case before the Supreme Court has not emphasized the fact that there is a Friends of the Court filing by more than 50 historians of the South and of Alabama defending the Voting Rights Act and Section 5 and arguing that there is a continuing tradition of racism and racial discrimination in the South. And this is based not on what happened in the 1940s and 50s, but based on what has happened since the 1960s and the Voting Rights Act was passed. I certainly think that in Alabama, if the question is there some evidence that Alabama's situation is worse than other states, I would have to respectfully disagree with Cam Ward. Actually, there's quite a good deal of evidence of racial discrimination and racism in public policy decisions and voting since the 1970s. And in fact, there are three fairly important cases that are located in the early part of the 21st century, that is, since 2000. So I think if you look at the historians who filed this Friends of the Court brief in defense of the Voting Rights Act, our argument is there's a continuing pattern going on here.
Currently, Wayne Flint, in 9 states, mostly in the South, as well as 54 counties in New York and California and Florida and North Carolina and South Dakota, 12 townships, as I'm reading here, in Michigan and New Hampshire. They're all covered, or some parts of those places are covered by Section 5. So what effect would a ruling which strikes down or curbs Section 5, what effect would that have on elections in those places throughout the United States?
Well, I think the narrower question is what effect it would have in Alabama, and is there something going on in Alabama that is different from what is going on, say, in Alaska or those covered areas of Massachusetts? Certainly, there probably is discrimination everywhere, but let me just give you three examples from recent Alabama history. The first is the former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, who was dismissed by a judicial panel because he would not enforce federal law in the state. He was out of office, and in early part of this century, he led an active movement to defeat removing racist language from the 1901 Constitution. And Cam Ward mentioned that he didn't know of any a continuation of patterns, although he knew there was discrimination in an earlier period. That earlier period was noted for Amendment 111 to the Alabama Constitution, the so-called Boutwell Amendment in 1956, which actually removed a constitutional guarantee for a state-funded education for all school children in Alabama as an attempt to basically eliminate public schools. In early part of this century, the legislature passed an amendment to revoke all racist language, including that Amendment 111. And present Chief Justice Roy Moore led an attempt to defeat that attempt to remove racist language because he said this was really an attempt to raise property taxes in order to equalize funding for poor, mostly black schools. Second incident involving the legislature about 2003-2004, a group of black and white Democrats and Republican legislators reached a sort of gentleman's agreement, which in recent days has become a sort of oxymoron in Alabama. But the agreement was that white Republicans had blocked a Democratic-sponsored bill to restore voting rights to convicted felons who had served their prison terms, and black Democrats had blocked a Republican voter ID bill, a voter ID bill pretty much like what's going on all over the country. And the two sides finally agreed to a compromise that would have enacted both of them, and the legislature passed both of them, but the Republican governor signed the Republican-passed voter ID bill and vetoed the bill restoring felons' rights. And a third case.
Running out of time here.
Yeah, 2010, it's basically a scandal involving an attempt to bribe legislators. Two Republican legislators were hooked up by the FBI to they were wired. And one Republican legislator said that if an amendment legalizing gambling appeared on the state ballot, the natives would turn out in mass to pass it and defeat Republicans. Senator Scott Beeson from Gardendale, a Republican white senator, said that actually it wouldn't be the natives who would defeat this. It would be the Aborigines in Greene County, which is a mostly black county.
Okay. I hear your voice, and I'm going to interrupt just a minute because the clock is ticking, and I hear what you're saying, but I want to get some other callers in here, too. David is in New Orleans. David, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, what can I say after that last speaker? 50 friends of the brief from history professors and just blatant examples of racism. But I would say to my brother Cam Ward, brilliant attorney, sir, but, you know, all Section 5 is saying is that make sure that if a state wants to try to change its voter laws, they need to have some approval that they're not violating federal law. And I guess, you know, when I was a union community organizer in 1985, that was only less than 20 years from when civil rights people were killed in Alabama. But I would say that if Section 5 continues to be the law, we should expand, if this Congress had the backbone, to expand the voter suppression, anti-voter suppression laws to include Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio. Can you believe, and what would Cam Ward say to the Pennsylvania Secretary of State that says, when we pass a voter ID law, Romney wins, done. I mean, it's a clear cloak about voter suppression. And isn't it funny, as the first speaker, the judge would agree, that voter suppression seems to be very linked to voter disenfranchisement, and that's exactly what Section 5 seems to be about. But we don't want to say racist, and we don't say natives and aborigines in New Orleans, Louisiana. We get along with each other. We love each other. Maybe there is some racism where I don't want you to marry my daughter.
All right, David, I've got to cut you off there because I hear your point. We'll talk more about it on the other side of the break. Obviously heated. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking this hour about the Voting Rights Act and a new challenge brought forth by Shelby County, Alabama. With us this hour is U.W. Clemon, a lifelong civil rights activist, a former federal judge, former state senator, Cam Ward, state senator for District 14, which includes Shelby County and neighboring Jefferson County, and Wayne Flint, professor emeritus of history at Auburn University. Here's another clip from last week's Supreme Court hearing, Justice Sonia Sotomayor saying that because Shelby County proposed 240 discriminatory voter laws that were blocked by Section 5, it was really not the right county to be arguing against this section in the first place in front of the court.
Why would we vote in favor of a county whose record is the epitome of what caused the passage of this law to start with?
Cam Ward, let me bring you back in here because we've had a lot of voices up against you. Wanted to give you a fair chance to respond. And what about Justice Sotomayor saying that maybe this isn't the right county to be fighting over in the first place?
I've been in the legislature for 11 years, and I haven't seen any laws passed, proposed by Shelby County of discriminatory nature. So I'm not really sure where the justice is coming from on that. Maybe she's discussing the nature of Justice Department declining certain annexations and the like. But as far as voting laws go, outside of, and rightfully so, what Judge Clemon mentioned earlier, that there really haven't been any change in our local voting laws. Now, I will say this, I do have to really take a question with Mr. Flint's comments, because Mr. Flint talked about how the racist language in the Constitution wasn't removed. And, you know, what's interesting is that all of the Republicans actually moved to remove the racist language from the Constitution. It was defeated at the polls, but the reason it was defeated at the polls is because many Democrat activists found a way to allow the court to force us to raise taxes. So it wasn't an issue of race. It was an issue of taxation. And to sit here and say that the state, you know, we rejected the removal of the racist language, well, the reason it got rejected is because the Democrats turned into an issue of allowing the court to bypass the legislature as far as taxation goes. So the examples being given are clear political differences, and I certainly respect Judge Clemon and his long and thoughtful career, as well as Mr. Flint. However, I think we have a political philosophy difference, not so much a racial difference. Now, should the Voting Rights Act be repealed? No. Should Section 5 be reviewed and possibly repealed? Yes. And I think there's arguments can be made on both sides. That's not to say racism is gone. Racism will never be gone, no matter what laws anybody passes in this country.
Back to the phones, to Frankfort, Kentucky. Here's Chester on the line. Chester, welcome to the program. Hello.
Well, hello, Jane.
Hi, go ahead.
My question is to Judge Clemons. And you're talking about racism. It's still here today. It's, like he said a minute ago, it's still here living well. Because you seen this sequester just went through. If the president had been a white man, the sequester had never, it wouldn't have went through. And I would just like to hear his comments on that, because that's the way I see it. And I'm a white man in Kentucky.
All right, Chester, thank you. Judge Clemon.
Well, I believe that racism is still very much a reality. We have to work towards reducing it as much as we can. But the effect of removing Section 5 from the Voting Rights Act is that of requiring a case-by-case approach to each law or change in procedure, diminution in the value of minority votes. Each of those instances would require a separate case, which by and large, the plaintiffs cannot afford, because election challenges, challenges to changes in voting, if they are pursued on an individual level, are very costly, and therefore they become prohibitive, and the law basically will go unenforced.
Cam Ward, what do you make of that, the judge's comments there, a case-by-case approach to Section 5?
Well, you know, to be honest, I think Judge Clemon, and in fairness to Judge Clemon, I think he does raise a good point on that. I think what you're hearing and seeing with the lawsuits itself is the frustration of is the overwhelming burden that you're seeing on local governments that no longer have a track record or history of the blatant discrimination he actively pursued against during his career. So, but as far as the legal semantics go, you know, Judge Clemon isn't entirely wrong on that. I do see a valid point in what he's making.
Let's go to the phones. Hollywood, South Carolina. John is on the line. John, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I'm from Hollywood. It's a small town right outside of Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
And I've grown up here all of my life, and everybody out in, down in the South, I think a lot of people in the North and the West, Midwest, they still think it's like it was back 40, 50 years ago. I mean, there might be some racial tension, but in all, it's really not. There's not much at all.
So you don't feel it?
I just don't. And I know a lot of people out here.
Does this fall along racial lines? Or do African Americans, other minorities feel one way and white folks feel the other?
No, we both feel about the same on it, you know? If one needs a ride, we give the other one a ride, you know. And there's a lot of family out here that's been here since, you know, 1800s.
John, I appreciate your perspective. Thank you, sir, very much for calling. Judge Clement, would you respond to that? Doesn't feel
well,
it.
I believe that the members of the Congress from South Carolina, North Carolina, wherever, the black members of Congress would disagree quite substantially with that observation. The fact that lynchings don't occur like they used to doesn't mean that the minds of men and women have changed that that vastly. The South Carolinians that I know would disagree most, the black South Carolinians that I know, would disagree most vehemently with the expression that blacks and whites are equal or feel that they are equal these days.
Can if I could,
yeah,
if
please,
I could
Wayne Flint, go ahead.
If I could intervene just a little bit, the federal judge in the gambling case dealing with the evidence in the trial in 2012. Dismissed Scott Beeson's testimony recorded by the FBI on tape by saying that his conversation and his reference to people in Greene County as Aborigine was, quote, blatantly racist, and then dismissed the charges as being based on nothing more than race-based partisan politics. So the idea that everything is just wonderful down here, there are some unique things in Alabama and the Deep South that simply don't happen other places.
Another call from Oklahoma City. Sharon is waiting. Sharon, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Go ahead.
Oklahoma City isn't exactly the Deep South, but it has a history of Jim Crow. And in my opinion, I think that the Voting Rights Act needs to be expanded countrywide. I've had the privilege of doing business and visiting, you know, from the Pacific Northwest to the Northeast and the Deep South. All over the nation, and you know, I see given evidence of what happened in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan recently that we need to protect the constitutional right to vote everywhere in this country. It's not just an issue with the Deep South. It's countrywide and culture-wide. Thank you,
Sharon. Thank you. I appreciate your call. Here's another perspective from Nashville, Tennessee. Aaron is on the line. Hi, Aaron. Welcome.
Hi, Jane. I just wanted to make the point that just because there is no evidence right now of having race-based voter suppression in these counties does not mean that there is not other things we can look to. When Nashville was removed from federal oversight, when our school system was removed from federal oversight, we have begun the process of resegregating, not with the express intent of that, but it's been the effect of many changes that have been made along school district lines. The school I went to, a magnet school, has gone from a fairly diverse racial makeup to a mostly white, suburban, and upper-class set of students.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the fact that we have this issue still, when we have removed federal oversight, goes to show that just because you're being good when somebody's watching you doesn't mean that you're going to be good when you have it's much harder for people to call you on what you're doing wrong.
Aaron, I appreciate your call. Thank you. Cam Ward, let me turn to you. How have the demographics changed in Shelby County? I mean, is that a piece of this? Has that happened in Shelby, some of what Aaron was talking about?
Yeah, there's no question. You've seen a suburban flight. You've seen urban flight, I guess, the suburbs. You have a very mixed, very diverse communities, actually. I mean, you've had an increasing population of African Americans. In fact, Barack Obama, just to tell you, carried more, got more votes in Shelby County than John Kerry did or Al Gore did before him. So the demographics are changing in Shelby County. And again, I don't think anyone here is saying, oh, racism is gone and everybody's perfect. You know, I think Dr. Flint made a very good example when he referred to Senator Beeson's comments in the recent gambling trial. You know, those are comments that are insensitive and no question have a racial tint to them. There's no question. On the other side, during the last, this most recent election 2 years ago or last year, Dr. Flint will agree with me that, you know, Hank Sanders, a prominent Senate Democrat here in Alabama, did a robocalls around to the district saying that Republicans only care about putting us back on the plantation. They care about nothing else but their own white egos. And that kind of stuff is basically pay. What you're doing is both those guys, both cases there were people playing to the lowest denominator to promote political careers and political expediency. So I'm not going to argue it doesn't exist because it definitely still exists. I think the question of what we're saying is, does it exist or do the opening practices of the government itself continue to carry out activities that justify this amount of regulation?
Judge Clemon, your response.
I'd like to point out that preclearance doesn't necessarily mean that the new voting procedures or schemes or whatever won't go into place. What it means is that it often requires the municipality or county government or state government to reconsider the impact of the proposed change. Here in Alabama, for example, we have a very profound, we as blacks, have a very profound disagreement with the way in which the law was changed regarding the composition of the legislature. We say that it was disregarded the constitutional requirement of one county in designing legislative districts. But we objected to it. It was pre-cleared by the Justice Department. And so it's now in effect. Of course, we remain in court on our section and on our challenge on another section of the Voting Rights Act. But what the Section 5 preclearance does very often is that it causes the bodies who are making these changes to reconsider them. And often, once those challenges are looked at, the governing body will either abandon the proposed change or make some refinement of the change so that the constitutional rights under Section 5 and under the voting rights law will not be offended.
I hear you, Judge. We're in our final minutes here. Wayne Flint, let me ask you this question. How might Congress react if the Supreme Court does strike down all of or sections of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act?
Well, for a Supreme Court that keeps saying that it's not an activist court, it would certainly make it a very activist court because Congress spoke pretty clearly and based upon enormous research in 2005, 2006. I would hope Congress would look at this and do something that is nonpartisan, but I seriously doubt it would. I suspect we'd have the kind of gridlock we have now. And I really emphasize what the speaker, the caller from Nashville, said. We need to remember this is not just about who can vote. It's about how who can vote affects tax policy and educational policy. And that's a network of issues that are really strategically important to the future of the South.
Judge Clemon, do you worry if the Supreme Court does move to strike down or curtail key sections of this act that voters in 2014 will suddenly wake up in 1964?
Yes, I do worry about it only because it's going to cause me to work much harder than I've had to work in the 4 years since I've been off the bench and back actively involved in civil rights.
And Cam Ward, how do you see this here, sir? I mean, if this is struck down or curtailed, I mean, what do you see happening?
Well, first of all, I'm not as convinced as Dr. Flynn is that the court is going to rule to strike it down. I think the questions by the justices, all of them, really kind of, I think, keep that up in the air. You know, if you ask Republicans and conservatives out there, they would say they don't trust this court either because of the ruling on the Affordable Health Care Act. So they're both sides are suspicious of which way the court's going to rule. I don't think you're going to have the kind of draconian return to the 1960s that Judge Clemens is concerned about. And the reason I say that is because while the laws haven't changed, a lot of people's minds have in the way we live. I mean, people's minds have changed. The world has changed dramatically since then. You know, technology's brought about the Internet. We've all become educated and aware of each other more. We have more interaction than we've probably ever had in the history of the human race. I think minds have changed. I think a lot of things have changed. A lot of people who were born after the Civil Rights Movement who have a different thought and idea, I like to think I'm one of them. But I don't think it's going to be nearly the concerns that Judge Clemens has. But, you know, Judge Clemens participated in a movement and process that's historical. And so he saw things that I didn't see that occurred during the Civil Rights era. So I certainly understand his concerns and worries.
Well, we shall see as the Supreme Court makes its decision upcoming. I appreciate the candor and the civility with which you all engage in this conversation today. Thank you very much. Cam Ward, Republican State Senator for District 14, which includes Shelby County and Jefferson County, Alabama. Cam Ward, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
Wayne Flint, Professor Emeritus of History at Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. Professor Flint, thank you very much, sir.
And thanks for your program, Jane.
Thank you. And Judge U.W. Clemon, joining us from Birmingham, Alabama, a lifelong civil rights advocate, a foot soldier for Dr. Martin Luther King and the Birmingham Civil Rights Movement. Judge Clemon, thank you, sir, very much for your time.
Thank you, and thank God for this opportunity.
Thank you, listeners. You can continue the conversation, get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Coming up tomorrow, we'll examine the science of winning and losing. Until then, I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. Thanks. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.